association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 106 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. I'm Adam and I've got some internet people in the shape of Robert Haynes. Never mind him. Ben Shoveler.
I've got to say, I am slightly more than an internet person. I am like Rio
as well. I like to play you down as well. And Burby Cartlett Sloan.
Don't like being played down.
Well, I'd like to so you just gradually build up your own reputation throughout the whole show. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Over the last eight.
Oh, and
hello,
this
Kirby.
Person.
Hey.
That's Alicia, hey, I guess
Alicia
I'm here.
Thingamajig. and today, just to make a change, we're going to talk about...
It's Monday.
Play up to the blooming podcast.
Doctor Who. And I don't know what's happened to Reese. He's skiving as usual. But never mind.
He's probably at drama club.
Oh, no. Cheese dripped over there.
Oh, no. What a shame.
Hey, Alicia. I saw that you came second in that competition last week, which means you're now the second most beautiful girl in your house.
Yay.
Well, considering there's three girls in the house, it's not bad going.
Sorry, third most beautiful girl in the house.
Shut up, I'm the princess of cows.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And I'm prince of sheep, but I never tell anybody.
I am, though.
So am I.
Yes, listeners, if you shush, I'm talking, Alicia. If you go to what is the bloody website for cows carnival? No, you got it wrong as well.
Cowscarnival.co.uk. It's not that hard.
I'll find the actual website out because you're actually on it on the front page.
Yeah.
Cows.
Oh, I see.
Carnival.
Computer would get confused and go, what? What are you doing? www.worldwide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's called www.cowscarnival.org.
I'm not going there right now.
I think you should because there's pictures of me on there.
Right, yes, so listeners, yes, Alicia, as we alluded to on previous episodes of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, is now second senior princess of the Cows Carnival, which means she's got a whole year of doing regal things on float.
Going moo!
And so it was not a bad year to do it with the Queen's Jubilee and stuff, there because that means extra things to do. So she's quite happy.
I might be meeting the Queen.
You are, yeah, Ebony's Queen, so you'd be meeting her.
No,
all right, I've already warned her.
So that's quite good. The only trouble is, Alicia, short of cash, aren't they? Because Cows Carnival raises thousands for charities during the year.
I can see the picture.
They raise thousands for charities during the year, but unfortunately they're not able to raise money for themselves, so they're in that sort of catch-22 situation.
We need £500 by next week.
To actually keep the carnival going, so... Yeah, and this, obviously, the climate, very difficult. So if anybody out there who's got a load of cash and doesn't mind...
because you'll be on our sponsor sheet and we'll sponsor...
Yeah, I'll be on the Cows Carnival website.
Look.
You're sponsoring the carnival.
Be on our jackets as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that slightly crap, the fact that they can earn thousands for charities but won't keep enough to keep themselves going?
Nobody sponsors carnivals, and plus cows cancel are absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, well, that's a political thing, as we were alluding to at the beginning of the show. Politicians are pretty rubbish, generally, but there you go.
They care more about yacht sailors than they do about...
No, they care more about themselves.
Yeah.
That's all they care about, fat cats getting fatter. That's
because all the other councils give money to their carnivals.
Yeah, most of them do, Alicia, not all of them. Sorry about mouthful, listeners. She is shovelling a pizza down at the moment.
Oh, God, I'm it.
So, shall we move on to things like feedback and stuff?
It's my pizza.
Because it's a very, very long email from Richard Culp. Everybody ready for this very, very long email from Richard Culp?
No.
He says, the very first thing I want to say is to Ben.
That's what he says.
Hello.
Thank you for being so understanding of my request on Moffat, as well as accept my apology for making it seem like it was totally centred on you. I did forget that others were involved in this, and I should not have singled you out. I think he's talking about Reese.
Was he done?
Oh, never mind, Alicia.
Was he done?
Well, if you're on the show every week, you'd know.
Was he done?
I have an opinion too.
Do you? What's your opinion, briefly, Robert?
Well, I don't mind Moffat. I just think he's doing too much.
Unfortunately, when I decided to make this request, my memory was focused on your comments. That's you, Ben, by the way. Another unfortunate result was that this was a read email. Many things are lost in the written word, and that portion of the email did come off as more of a grumbling on my part instead of a request. I will consider trying to send in audio feedback, but having a part-time job does have an effect on what I can do. I also have to learn what program I need to create the audio file. Audacity is pretty good. And it's free. And before I forget, I don't believe you gave an answer to my other question. What other executive producer from the classic series was a disappointment to you? That's a very, very good one. I thought I'd forgotten to answer that particular question. Most of the producers of the classic series are pretty good. I can't think of any.
No, the one that burnt all the Doctor Who things.
That wasn't the Doctor Who producer. That was somebody at the BBC. Not anything to do with
the person Michael Grade, stopped... if you think you have.
Michael Grade, yeah.
Yeah.
The person who stopped Doctor Who.
Yeah, Michael Grade.
Michael Grade. Not an executive producer of the programme, though, is he?
He was head of serials or something.
He was controller of BBC One at the time he cancelled it.
Cyberman controller.
Should have sent it over.
There is actually a documentary on Radio 2 about Michael Grade in the next couple of weeks, and he talks about that.
I'll have to listen to that. John Nathan Turner has always sort of, berated for what he did towards the end of its run. But without John Nathan Turner, we wouldn't have about 8 years of Doctor Who to look back on. Precisely. And he really did devote his life to the show. I prefer not to go down there. Let's, have a go.
But we
John
did
Nathan
end up
Turner.
With question marks on lapels.
Yeah, but. Yeah, it's just his way, isn't it? He liked his sort of flamboyant shirts, didn't he? And that was a part of his flamboyance coming out in The Doctor. But there you go. I can't think of any producer from the original series.
I can tell you one.
Can you?
Because I just been reading a book about the 1960s Doctor Who, and one of the early producers, he was brought in to Doctor Who. I can't remember if it was John Wiles or somebody like that. I don't know, Innes Lloyd, I don't know. I can't remember the name, but he didn't really like the show, and he wanted to be taken off it as soon as he could. So as soon as he could, he was out of there.
Yeah.
So
he hasn't
maybe
really that, lot to sort of show for it, though, has he? I mean, I can't think of any dip in the quality.
It's a bit hard, Doctor Who is of its time, isn't it? So to compare something...
That's probably
then,
why I sort of dodged the question, because... Richard, let us know what you think of there was any producers that disappointed you from the classic era, because I'll be interested to hear anybody's opinions on that side of things. For us, or for me and Robert and Alicia wouldn't know, I can't see anybody or think of anybody. Have you finished?
And in reply to the rest of his email, I didn't take it personally at all, didn't think it was harshly directed towards me. This is an open forum. We are allowed to make points if we wish to.
What did he do?
Ben doesn't like Stephen Moffat, basically.
I know that, though.
And some people do.
No, I tried to shoot him.
Did you? Oh, dear. That's called a sass.
Never mind. Anyway, let's move on. The Christmas Invasion. Tennant's first days as the Doctor. I have honestly had a struggle to think of what to say about this that might add something new to what you covered. Hence the late reply. Or later replies, he said. After some lengthy thought, I recalled that this was the start of the new Doctor Who tradition of creating a bigger budget Christmas spectacular. The result is we get to see the stories try to wow the viewer. Sorry, I'm reading this sideways. It's really difficult. And with bigger special effects, such as the TARDIS racing down the highway. Don't recall what they are called in Britain. Sorry, the motorways, Richard. Motorways.
Why are they called highways?
Why does it matter?
Exactly.
It does.
I'm talking about the cross the pond pronunciations of stuff that really annoys me.
Like chips
the
and fries.
The Omega podcast insist on calling Daleks Daleks. Ben, what are they?
What are Daleks? They're Daleks. Daleks, they're not
yes.
Daleks.
Kirby, what are they called?
Daleks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is slightly different from the series and season argument, because yeah, obviously yeah. in America, seasons are called seasons, and in here, over here, they're called series. Yes. But you can't what? Then try and change well, the there's... name of something that is actually in the TV series that they call Daleks to Daleks, yeah. just because you can't pronounce it.
I think it's, a, it's, just people... a, it's a Minnesota sorry, accent, that's all. Yeah, is it not?
Well, you say that, but I kind of think it's more of a
well,
case
even the
that,
Scottish
you know.
Can pronounce it properly, so I don't see how that's going to... And the Welsh. Yeah,
call it, call yeah. it a northern accent.
What's wrong with
I'll
the
call
Scottish
it nothing. We'll call them Daleks. And this is another good reason, podgrammers, why you shouldn't listen to any other podgram than this one.
Yes, exactly. The story also has a world-threatening feel equal to that of the 13th episode of the series. This is the hallmark of the most... of most of the Christmas episodes as they try to create a spectacular episode for the holiday. Having said all this, the first holiday special did not quite come off in this way. It was more laid back as we were dealing with the lack of the Doctor as he was trying to recover from his regeneration mm-hmm. and could be said was similar to Peter Davison's regeneration woes in Castrovalva. I find it enjoyable how we had to see how everyone else handled this situation. We tend to get used to having the Doctor step up and handle these situations, so this was refreshing in its own way until we get the Doctor awake and ready to draw the line in the sand. Overall, I did enjoy the story as it provided us with an extra to the series we had just finished. This idea of having a special also had me thinking about something I heard on another podcast. Someone pointed out...
What?
That, yeah, exactly. There are other podcasts. Yeah. Can you believe this? Someone pointed out...
really?
...that the Christmas special has a detrimental effect to the show. Bear with me as I explain what I heard.
You're going to have to explain that one, Sonny Jim.
Yeah.
For the entire run of the show until the year of special... The year of, oh, yeah, the year of... I can see what he means year now. Special. Year of special, yeah. We got 13 episodes. There is a story arc that runs through this that has a climatical confrontation at the end of the series. In
big
that
climatical?
Last, yeah, that last episode. We also get one main villain or monster for that series. Everything gets wrapped up in the last episode. After the 13 episodes, we get a Christmas special that is separate from the 13 episodes. Take a step back and look at how we in America have a season go. Depending on the show, we usually have everything in the season lead up to one big event at yeah. that last episode and are left with a huge cliffhanger. We are left hanging, wondering how the final moments of the show will be resolved in the first episode of the new series. Well, sorry, season. Oh, sorry, he said season. I do apologise. Would Doctor Who not benefit from a cliffhanger at the end as well? Imagine Utopia was the series finale episode or series final episode in the later series.
I would hate that. Mm.
How great would it have been? debate over the pros and cons of doing this, but the Christmas special always pushes this to the side as writers have to wrap up everything in the 13th episode. Now, the trouble is, like somebody said to you, you build up to the series finale. And you really want to know what's happening in that, and it'd be such a pain in the ass to have to then wait, like we did with the shooting of J.R. Ewing.
Yeah.
You know,
32 years ago in 1 week.
You know, you build up to that, and then you don't get a resolution at the end of it. You know, no. I mean, I think it's nice. What we get with Doctor Who is always you get the whole series, you get the resolution, you get the Christmas special, and normally after the Christmas special, you get a little precursor for the next series, and that's what we missed this year. We just had it recently, obviously, on the BBC website. But that's what our little sort of cliffhanger
teaser,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the teaser for the next series. So,
don't you think that the whole series is wrapped up, obviously, kind of like in opposition to what you was just saying there? The series is wrapped up as a series, and then the Christmas special is a lovely little standalone Christmas special. Yeah. Normally, this year, however, it's going to be slightly different because obviously Amy and Rory are going to be leaving in the last episode before Christmas, and then in the Christmas episode, we've got the new companion starting. So there's obviously going to be some sort of link this year between the back end of the. It's all right, Alicia. I'm only talking. It's my voice coming out. You can probably tell that.
No, I don't want to.
You can jump in whenever you want, love. It's fine. I'm only making a point. It's all right.
No, you don't make a point. I make points. Yeah. No, you know the new companion? Is she going to be young or old?
That's one of the most stupidest questions I've ever heard. How can we be, is she going to be young? You can see quite clearly she's supposed to be young.
No,
she's 25.
Is she going to be like 18 or...
Oh, I see. Well, you're saying 25's old then, are you?
No, you get one.
You just wait till you get a 37, Alicia, if you think 20, if you think 18's old.
Well, no, 18's a cool age because you can go
hold
out.
The microphone?
No. Why cool am I age? Holding this mic?
Because I can't hold it. I'm facing
no,
this
No, probably when I'm 18, I still won't be able to go out late.
Oh, shut up.
18?
We don't know 18. Anything about the new companion yet. Sorry, Ben, did you manage to finish your point? Ben?
Dead going, Ben?
He's dead.
He's gone. He's just hung up.
Yeah, I told you, he's dead.
See what you've done now, Alicia.
I haven't done anything.
He's dim, Jed.
But you know what? Imagine having to wait from when Doctor Who last just finished until the resolution in autumn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's just such a long time to wait. It's different in the US when you don't have all that long to wait for the new season, do you, Kirby? Of
well,
shows.
I don't normally watch most TV, so I don't know.
Well, just to finish off his email, curious as your thoughts on this, keep up the great work. Sorry, I just thought I'd better finish off his
email. Why did you do that, Dad? Why?
Because I wanted to make sure.
He's gone out for a smoke.
Yeah, but he wouldn't hang up, would he? What's he doing?
Yeah, he would. He's dead.
Shut up, Alicia.
He is. See? If he doesn't answer, he's dead. Can I go and get my phone, please? I need to
it'll cause interference.
That's the phrase.
But Dad's on his phone.
Yeah, only because I'm phoning Ben up to see if he's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Oh, that's Robert being naughty.
That's Darth Vader.
What's his name again?
Oh, Isabella watched the first Star Wars yesterday for the first ever time. She liked
what did she
it. Bet?
She, oh,
liked
she liked
it. She kept asking where Darth Vader was.
Hello.
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 I just came to say hello.
Hello.
Just restarting the computer. Seems to have lost internet connection.
Oh, I thought something like that might have happened. The other possibility was you hung up because you were fed up listening to Alicia.
No.
Then he died.
Exactly what
no,
I
was no.
Back on.
No, no.
It's firing back up now. Hold on, Skype's coming back open.
Oh, correct.
No, I thought you were...
I got the internet back. I can't even... yes, the internet's back.
Listening.
Well, why should you listen to you?
Skype in about 8 seconds, I should
okay. No, I thought you were dead.
7, 6.
Bye.
I was dead.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, it's in a bit.
3, 2, 1. Oh, he's lying.
Oh, Dad, can you give me a lift up Newport? Because I can't bother to get the bus.
Hey, Alicia.
Yeah?
Alicia, guess what we're having tonight?
Pizza.
Barbecue.
Pizza.
Yeah,
I just had pizza.
And the mom ran out of the door, and I've never seen her again.
we're having pizza tonight, too, but that's in... going to be in about 12 hours.
This is a directional microphone, right? You have to talk into that bit. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
So I talk like this?
Not that close. There.
Oh, that's a beef.
Oh, my ears.
Right. Anyway, here we go. Right, so we have some audio feedback as well.
But when you play audio feedback, you listen. You just talk over it.
Well, if you listen to it, I won't talk over it.
Okay,
there we go.
There's a certain difference, isn't there, between the podcasts during term time and holiday.
Hello, 20 Megabiters. It's Dr. Phil from Wrenches in Time, Space, and Music. Just wanting to send in some feedback. And I know that I'm not consistent with sending in feedback to you guys, because I do listen week after week, usually in my car. As I kind of am at the moment. Anyway. And no, I'm not dead, which is the good news. But I did want to send in some feedback based on I always do this where I listen to a show, and if something sticks out or stands out in any way is usually when I stop the podcast and record feedback right away. So I haven't listened to the whole show, but I want to say something about one thing that was discussed, and this is not being pedant in any way. I want to say a message to Ben is you are the funniest member of the cast of the 20 Megabyte podcast besides Adam.
Stop it.
And I expected when you got Richard Culp's challenge about, you know, your position on Stephen Moffat, that you were going to go into a hilarious and sarcastic tirade. And I was thoroughly impressed with the mature, balanced way you responded. And I just want you to know that I was really impressed with how you defended your position. and made your point, and it was thoroughly not what I expected you to do, and that's why I'm thoroughly impressed, and that I'm looking forward to the rest of the episode, which I understand from seeing from Reese has some epic pedantry battles, that should be accompanied by music from A Mock Time from Star Trek, if I recall seeing on Facebook. So I can't wait to hear that bit, but I just want to say bravo. And guys, keep up the great show. Keep up the great show as always. It's really an enjoyable listen, and it's great to have your company on my many meanderings or travels. And keep up the great work. And bravo, all involved. So take care. Be back soon.
Yeah, that would
be one of the finest bits of feedback we've ever received.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. Go on, Alicia. Go on.
But you're not funny.
Alicia says you're not funny.
No, you're not funny.
No. She says I'm not funny.
No, I'd agree with that, Alicia.
Yeah, so why does he say you're funny when you're not funny? You're just
I don't know.
Exactly.
I really am the only funny one on here.
Yeah, Ben's funny, you're not.
Anyway. So
Dr. Phil, thank you. I just wanted to point out that, you know, that was a heartfelt bit I did last week, and I do understand that some people like him. We're talking about Moffat, not Dr. Phil. See, Alicia,
rude.
Funny.
I can be funny.
You can't.
Yes,
but,
I can.
I said you can't.
I can.
But no, it's simply because, you know, some people like him, and I can understand that. It's just that I've been watching, especially this week, I've watched probably about 13 episodes of Tennant. Tennant 2, all through the second, third, and fourth series. And it just reminds me how great he was and how great Russell T. Davis was at writing the story arcs, because they weren't complicated. And the difference was they were all explained, really, maybe sometimes too simply, but they were still all explained. And so you weren't left wondering. And, you know, one of the big things over the new series of Who was the whole face of Bo thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And who is the face of Bo? And it's quite clearly pointed out to you, and you don't have to be prodded with a stick to work out that it is Captain Jack.
Right.
Because they say it at the end of series
This
three.
Is quite interesting, because about this thing about Bo Kind. You know,
yeah, Bo Kind.
No,
what got me thinking about that
was, if what happened at Torch... Stop singing, please. What happened at the end of Torchwood Miracle
Sorry.
Day, when, you know, the other chap, what was his name, the chap that was converted into being immortal... Oh, what was his name? Alicia, you watched Torture Miracle Day. What was the black chap called?
Oh, yeah, him.
Oh, him! Rex.
But I was just thinking, if Rex went on to have kids and Jack went on to have kids, would those kids not have some sort of...
Yeah, they would
be
the Bo Kind.
Yeah, they would end up eventually, I suppose, being Bo Kind, so that maybe a new race was created by this. That's my only mind.
I don't know what you know about genetics, Adam, but seriously, Rex and Captain Jack couldn't have kids together.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, because they're... Guys.
Never mind, but I'm trying to get around the
Bo Kind. I think
the
word you're looking for was gays.
A guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Rex is not gay.
Never mind.
Anyway, he probably wasn't.
I've got some audio feedback from somebody called Ian. Oh,
is Torchwood coming back for shit?
Hello, Trenton McGuire Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. New Earth by Russell T. Davies. Zombies again. Chips are mentioned again. There is even a character called Chip.
That's a good point.
I enjoyed this episode. Cassandra Bodhopping was nice. The cats were very good. The mention of NNYPD was amusing. The Doctor is very arrogant in this. Cassandra claims to be the last human, which was plausible in The End of the World, where the other characters were aliens. For budgetary reasons, there are plenty of humans in this episode. In Hitchhikers, Arthur Dent and Trillian were the last humans. In Red Dwarf, Dave Lister was the last human. It seems a popular theme in British sci-fi. Red Dwarf also has a race of humanoids descended from cats. All the details are preposterous. This is set in the M87 galaxy, 83 years after the end of the world. In that time, the face of Bo and millions of humans have moved 60 million light-years to colonise a planet. Cassandra can speak Cockney. The Doctor can cure the clones by spraying a few with intravenous solutions and having them touch each other. They can walk and talk, despite being in solitary their whole lives. What if, for the 50th anniversary, the Doctor realises that the Tom Baker-era scarf is actually a Gallifreyan barcode, which contains a space-time location where he finds the older Mel, played by Bonnie Langford, fighting the Daleks? No, that does not bear thinking about. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
I think you'll find it's pronounced Dalek.
Only in Minnesota.
No, what I don't get, at the end when the Doctor gets everybody to touch each other, it's just that room.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a bit rudish, but only if you've got that sort of mind.
I'm making a valid point. Just that room.
Valid.
He didn't pass on to the rest of the hospital.
I think it was probably giving an example of what happened and just showed that room, because if they'd have showed all of the people who had escaped from their pods, Alicia, I think it would have taken up slightly more time than the episode ran for.
I don't get it.
We'll cover the synopsis in a moment.
The synopsis, you bore me.
No, you're doing the synopsis.
He
was just alluded to made me remind of a film you were watching this morning, Alicia, called Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, I like that film.
We have covered the terrible American accents occasionally in Doctor Who, but in that film, the terrible English accents stand out like a sore thumb.
I swear what's her name?
Julie Andrews is blimmin' British, silly girl. I was talking about the attempted sort of
pizza.
The characters that aren't particularly important to the plot. English accents.
Unfortunately have that DVD downstairs as well, so I know what you mean about that.
Yeah.
I like that film.
It's quite a good film.
I was watching Cars 2 earlier.
That's all right. Can we move on
then? Smell that pizza.
Pizza.
You have to talk into the microphone. Don't put it up to your mouth. Ben, tell her.
It makes funny noises.
Seriously, Alicia.
I'm just getting takeout.
You don't need to put it up to your mouth.
Why? Not until
you're a much bigger girl.
That's rude. Sick-minded.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
I'm talking about microphones, Alicia.
Sick-minded.
Sick. All right, synopsis, please, Alicia.
I'll start you off. Hello.
Oh, you're talking to the dog.
Hello,
she's going to pull all the cables out.
Hello.
Don't put that up to your mouth either.
She wants a cuddle. Sorry, girl, come here.
Right, anyway.
Yummy.
Yes, so we start off with a totally and utterly pointless pre-title sequence.
Oh, I know, yeah.
We'd already established in the previous episode that the Doctor was, at home with Rose and Mickey and all that lot. There was no need to have the Rose saying goodbye and packing her bags scenario.
How many months were there between the Christmas special?
Between that being broadcast, that was in April 2006, wasn't it? I was going to say, because in the commentary, that scene, they were supposed to shoot in London but couldn't, so they shot in Cardiff. But it was directly after the events in the Christmas invasion, so it wasn't any sort of length of time.
Yeah, but there wasn't really, because it had no sort of real bearing on the storyline.
I think what it was meant to do, and it did it really nicely for me, was it brought you back into the second series. Because no matter how long it had been off air for, or how long that scene was meant to have taken place in Who time after the end of the Christmas invasion, if you remember, when they wrote the first series, and the first series was completely written, then they got given the second series. And I don't know if they knew how long afterwards it would be being brought back on. And so that was just kind of like a bringing you back into the series thing, the Doctor running back into the
reintroducing you to the family of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know if it was
I think that's all that was.
But she had a haircut It's really, really short, so yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You can have your hair cut, Alicia. No, it is allowed.
I thought it worked really nicely. I thought it was a really nice little precursor to the episode. That just brought you back into the series. It was the second series, you know. If it had been going on if that was the beginning of the seventh series, for example, I could understand your issues with it. But because
I liked the beginning.
Second series.
I
thought it was a really nice start to it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, it'd
been a few months. I like hasn't it when it, he's since like the Christmas special.
I like
on,
it when he
on
like,
air anyway.
I like
on
it when
TV,
he was like
yeah.
powering up the TARDIS and everything. I thought it was quite nice.
All right.
And the other thing is, of course, it was David Tennant's first proper, you know,
story.
Yeah,
yep.
He was asleep during most of the Christmas special.
Exactly. And so, you know, and also remember that it was the first time that we'd had a Christmas special of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so they have picked up extra viewers. You know, over the
I can understand
episode, and so therefore putting that bit in the beginning of it, then just kind of like brought it back into line with it all, and maybe you know gave a few extra clues to people who hadn't seen the first series. I don't know. I think it worked well though. I liked it.
What do you think, Kirby?
I like the. I've been saying all along. I liked having that introduction. I thought it was necessary.
But Robert sort of half agreed with me, didn't you, Robert?
Oh yeah, yeah. All I right, mean,
good. At least I'm not on my own.
Yeah. Because sometimes, well, I'm thinking, you know, with a lot of things, it's like the pre-credits are straight out action. But, you know, this was just like, I don't know, a bit too calm to sort of introduce the episode. I don't know.
Okay.
But again, we got to remember, we're watching it not as it was broadcast. So
Give me.
Even though we're watching in the order, it's no sort of big break, is there?
And also, if you'd have just gone straight, if you'd have just ignored the title sequence then, and we'll just go straight into the post-title sequence,
that
wouldn't have worked.
I don't know why not.
You know, just Doctor and
to be fair, I didn't actually remember the pre-title sequence until I'd watched the episode. All I remember are them landing on New
really?
York,
really?
Sort of bay, sort of place.
I could say the same thing too.
I remember it. See, you know what I mean?
You have only recently watched it.
No. Even before that, I remembered it. So,
those scenes looking out at the city.
Yes.
I think that those may have influenced a movie that came out a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they were making it. They were making that movie about the same time. Meet the Robinsons, a Disney film.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's some scenes in the city which are very similar.
Can't say I've ever
seen
that.
Yeah, same kind
one.
Of design, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen it, Kirby. Yeah.
I didn't really like it because it looks too CGI.
You're not talking into it, darling.
I am talking into it, actually.
Yeah. Sounds fine. Levels are good here.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be.
Yeah,
you've got the computer mic. Exactly. She's got the one that's recording.
No, shush. I'm making my point. Do you want me on the show or not?
I do, but I'd like to see the recording levels actually move when you speak.
Shut up.
Can we take a vote on that last point?
Anyway, Yes, so they land, and they're being watched on the strange sort of crystal ball
closely
thing.
Closely by intelligences greater than...
Which is Chip, basically. Sort of observing the...
I recognise that actor. What's he been in?
I don't know. Doctor Who?
Yeah, except that.
Yeah, so it's actually Cassandra that sort of spots Rose, isn't it?
Yes.
And, but obviously doesn't get the connection with the Doctor. So they go. The Doctor decides he wants to go to see this hospital place, and so they.
She doesn't know that the Doctor's regenerated, though.
No, not yet. No.
So that's why she wouldn't recognise him.
No.
And isn't it amazing how the hospital interior looks a lot like the lobby of the Millennium Center?
Yeah.
How many times have we said that on this show?
Funny that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, the problem is with that. There's no shop.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out.
I have a little shop.
It may have been in, I'm trying to remember where I saw it, but apparently where he points to say there should be a shop there is where there is actually a shop.
Is there?
Oh, right, okay. Okay. So where did we get up to? Sorry, I've lost my thread completely.
They're being spied on.
They're lying on the apple grass.
Oh, I like that bit.
You're not talking into the mic now.
And then the thing that looks like one of those spidery things that
Lady
that was in the last episode Cassandra was in, you know, those little spindly, spidely things. One of them was running around the grass spying on them.
Yeah.
But I was talking about the, what's the name, Cassandra watching them over their little crystal ball, and there was a really quite funny sort of line, which they sort of, not the same line, but they sort of elaborated on this sort of style of writing where Cassandra says, I can be revenged on that little, and somebody then says, bit rich.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in this episode.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. So you're talking out your.
Yeah.
That's also the quality of Russell T. Davis, you see.
Yeah. I quite like the when they go into the lift and obviously get the doctor keeps on shouting about the watch out for the disinfectant and stuff. And I quite
The commentary, they said they had 3 changes of costume.
Yeah. That doesn't
surprise me.
Yeah.
And David Tennant's biggest complaint. David Tennant's biggest complaint was when he had to put on the wet stuff for retakes.
Right.
I would hate that.
Well, they did a whole thing about when they were doing the Doctor Who Confidential thing. They showed you how they did it all.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And also the bit where they're on that pulley thing going down the lift shaft as well. They showed how they did that.
Yep.
How did they do that?
With CGI.
Well, it wasn't very long.
No. So anyway, the doctor ends up in the hospital and they sort of start looking at the patients. One of them is I've got it written down here, the Duke of Manhattan.
Duke of Manhattan.
Who is very similar to Dorian.
Turning into stone. Yeah, that's what I thought.
In fact, I thought it was him for a little bit until he turned back to his
normal color. I had to go out and check Wikipedia to make sure it wasn't at first.
See, Stephen Moffat copying ideas.
Mm-hmm, yeah, indeed.
Who's Dorian?
The blue man in you know, New Who.
Oh, him, yeah.
And he lost his head.
Yeah. And there was another bit where he says, you're talking out of your ask not. That's a bit you referred to just a minute ago.
Yeah.
What's his name? Robert, isn't it, Alicia? So what happened next then, Alicia? I've lost my thread now. So
the cats.
They get separated.
Cats are just fantastic.
The cats are good.
Did you notice, darling, sorry.
I just wanted Kirby to finish his point.
Did you notice who was playing one of the cats?
Was it not Zoe Wanamaker?
No.
No. Okay, who was it?
No.
Let me get her name here. Hang on. Wikipedia.
Good grief. It's obviously going to be 100% right then.
Yep.
Adjoa Ando. She later played Martha's mother.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Was that the matron that she played?
I think it was the matron.
No, she was like the middle level.
She was Sister Jet.
Yeah.
Oh, her. Yeah, I know which one you mean.
Oh,
now
I'll have to look at it again now because I never would have got that. That was makeup of the highest caliber to completely disguise her like that. Anyway, moving back. Alicia, yes, we got up to the bit where they get separated. The doctor goes up to the hospital and Rose then gets taken down.
You know Martha?
Yes.
You know the actress?
Yeah, Freeman Adjaman, yeah.
Yeah, she was in the second series, and then was Martha.
Yes.
And now
she was in this series. Yeah. The series we're watching now.
Yeah. Towards the end.
Yeah. And now her mother was in the second series. Yeah. And was
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recycling. Oh, I'm going to have to add her to the to my list
of people who played 2 characters in Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Completely forgot about her until.
But anyway, they get separated. Rose goes down to the bowels of the hospital where she bumps into Cassandra and is sort of coerced into walking into this sort of mind transfer thing.
And why does Cassandra use such terribly dated film technology?
That's what I was thinking.
We don't know how long Cassandra's been a trampoline for, though, do we? She's obviously lived for hundreds of years, but...
Well, even during the period that she's supposedly from, she should be.
It's in the future,
Well, the only way I might be able to explain that is maybe she time travelled at some point. Because if she's from the distant future, they must have at some point come, you know, into contact with some sort of time travelling. Obviously, bearing in mind Captain Jack's a time traveller, she might have had time travelling capabilities and just been filmed with old-fashioned equipment and then gone back to the future.
Personally, I'd say it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter, no.
Now, there's one nice shot where Chip is kind of caressing Cassandra, and his hand goes behind her.
Yeah.
and yeah. you see through her. You yeah. see his hand. It's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's good yeah. Good stuff in it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alicia, what happened next? So obviously then Rose becomes...
Then the doctor's being shown around the ward by the nurse, yeah. the cat. Then he sees the Manhattan person.
Yeah, we've done that bit.
No,
Rose
no,
at
no,
the
you're
moment.
Not going oh, in the right
go,
place.
Go,
no,
sorry,
you're
go on
going in the right order, mate. Then he sees the face of Bo, and then
yeah, he meets the face of Bo again.
And
who,
then
sleeping.
The cat tells the story oh. about him being.
Oh, it's just Robert trying to add sound effects. Carry on.
Yeah. Can I just point out at this point that the blonde girl sleeping. Who just walked past my house, if she listens to this podcast, come and knock next time.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so then the nurse tells a story about he's lived for millions of years, and
they,
he
no,
will
they,
tell
they
his.
Say these live for
oh
millions
yeah,
of years.
And he will tell his final secret to a traveller, a man who has no home, the man who's a god.
Yeah, which I wonder who that's implied to be.
Doctor.
Yeah. I wonder.
But anyway, Rose then becomes Cassandra, and obviously Billy Piper, in a more natural sort of poshish sort of accent, obviously found that quite easy to do. But all the people that sort of played the mind transferred Cassandra were brilliant in this episode.
They did great, yeah.
And but Rose playing it was really really it was great fun to watch. It really was. Really enjoyed watching her as Cassandra.
Billy Piper, not Rose.
Yeah, but it was still Rose technically.
But no, it was Cassandra.
No, it was still Rose because Rose was tucked away, as Cassandra said, and she could access her thoughts and stuff. So it was
true.
But they refer to them as Rose Cassandra and Dr. Cassandra, though, when they're
okay.
doing commentary anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, so then she seeks out the doctor. And there's a great meeting scene, and Isabella's just appeared. Hello. What?
Hello.
Can you take over, please, Alicia? This is going to be some fun, isn't it?
Isabella, do you need a toilet?
No, she doesn't. Can you take over, Alicia, please?
Why has she got chocolate? It does matter, because I want chocolate.
Yeah, I want some too.
Yeah.
I've had my pizza, I want my chocolate. Yes.
Right, so...
How come Isabella gets chocolate and we don't?
Because she's a goody-goody. Why can't I have chocolate?
You can have chocolate after the podcast.
No, why has Isabella got chocolate
she
and
hasn't...
I haven't?
She hasn't got chocolate.
I can get chocolate after the podcast.
She's got a chocolate medal.
Maybe this isn't the time on the
got a DVD.
Okay. Discussed about chocolate.
Why haven't I got anything?
Because you didn't win the best daughter in the house competition this month.
Oh. What would I have got if I did win?
A DVD of your choice, or maybe some makeup or something.
Oh, I need new makeup. I need fake tan.
Yeah, can we go back to Doctor Who, please?
What
bit do we get up to? The doctor. She seeks out the doctor, and there's a great scene where she sort of a bit flirts with the doctor. This is Cassandra
him.
Rose. And yeah, then kisses him, and the expression
on—he's like, still got it.
Yeah, I like that. The expression on the doctor's face, with his hair slightly unkempt, and he says, "Still got it." I really like that bit. Mm-hmm. Nobody else did, obviously, because it's all gone very quiet at the other end.
Bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. Is Ben still there?
No, I'm not getting chocolate.
He's chasing that blonde.
Yeah. Anyway, so what happened next then, Alicia? Obviously after the doctor
then,
and Cassandra
then,
met up.
Then.
What happened next then, Kirby?
Then.
I accidentally turned off the DVD, so I don't remember.
What happened next then,
this
Robert?
Funny.
I can't remember, so you have to.
I remember. Oh yeah. So and then the nurse comes along to go to the main show. New Lisini. The nurse comes along to go to the matron and say, oh, there's a problem in intensive care. Then they go to intensive care and they go, oh, yeah, the being's alive again. And he's like, help me, please, help me. And then they disintegrate him. And then while this is happening, Doctor and Rose are trying to get into intensive care by doing stuff. Then Rose says some technical stuff. And then...
You mean Cassandra says
yeah,
some technical
and
stuff.
And then the doctor knows that it's not Rose and he does the sonic screwdriver. And then the door opens and goes... And then Nana in intensive care. And then...
Of course, this all came from the fact that Cassandra said that she knew that a secret about the cats.
Yeah.
Not everything was as it should be.
And also, what we forgot to mention was the chambers that all these zombie things are in. They were very similar.
Did anyone else get a Tomb of the Cybermen?
No,
yeah, vibe just, out of it. Yeah.
No, what I got was yeah. it was very similar to the chamber things in A Christmas Carol. Those ones that Abigail was in.
Ah, but yeah. at the yeah. time that we saw this, we didn't know about The Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
But we no, did but we know did. About
That's because Stephen Moffat hadn't copied it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, they go to an intensive care and open up a chamber. And finally, the tenant doctor says, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
This is his teeth, don't
he? Yeah.
Yeah. So
oh yeah, he shows his teeth when he's angry that that they've changed raised his head. So
yeah, but that was much later on. You've jumped quite.
No, I haven't.
All right, steady on.
Thank you.
Yeah, my biggest problem with this story is the zombies know too much for being as young as they're supposed to be, and
yeah, they're supposed to be created by flesh, and then
yeah.
they know how to talk and stuff, and it's like they
can walk.
Created by flesh, another idea that
yes!
seemed to yeah. end up in the Moffat lap.
And they can walk, and I just have problems with the zombies.
Okay,
yeah,
well they're not
I
real zombies. They are actually alive, aren't they? That's the old point of them, isn't it? They have to be alive to harbour all these viruses that sort of live off them, sort of thing.
Yeah, but how do they create them then? Because they don't know how to talk, they don't know how to walk, so how?
They didn't really explore that.
They said they harvest
much,
them
they harvest
flesh.
Them, yeah. Yes, I don't know. But never mind, it's... So, yeah.
It's only a story.
It's only a story, but obviously but most of these things sort of get overshadowed by the chemistry between the Cassandra... Billy Piper's Cassandra and the Doctor, and this sort of constant swapping of, you know, personalities,
yeah.
which goes on quite a lot. I do tend to gloss over most of the story here, because at this point it's just a case of the Doctor, I think he discovers a cure quite early, but just needs to find a way of sort of making it action. That's it, yeah. So they
now, did you notice a lot of the running around in the areas where the zombies are is the same area that the very first episode was filmed in, where the
the Autons, yeah, the nesting consciousness,
yes,
hanging from the wall, yeah, ceiling,
oh yeah,
yeah. I remember the railings, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the railings and the one staircase is identical.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you watched this episode a few times? Because I mean, so that's something I sort of never, nowhere near, sort of picked up on.
No, I agree with you. I've never picked up on that.
Yes, I've watched it a few. Oh, hello, clock.
It's saying hello back in clockish. Anyway.
Dong.
Yeah. So so basically, there's the Doctor and. I just love the tenant becomes Cassandra. Sorry, yeah, the Doctor becomes Cassandra.
That's funny.
He's really good. Oh, two hearts beaten out of samba. Was quite amusing. Was it not?
Sorry, was that David Tennant or Sean Connery?
Yeah.
That was rubbish. That's a rubbish impression.
Well,
worst impression I've ever heard.
Hang on, they do sound quite similar because they both talk a bit like that, don't they?
They're both Scottish.
They're both
and
Scottish.
That's about
and
it.
They talk a bit like that, and I got to sort of say their S's. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. If you ask Sean Connery to say "I'm sorry," "I'm so sorry" as James Bond, it would probably sound quite similar.
I disagree.
Has he got a lisp, David Tennant?
No, I don't think so. I just think he has to talk like that to stop himself from sounding Scottish. He doesn't do that when he's talking normally, does he? Anyway, back to Doctor Who, the story of New Earth.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
No, I thought we were talking about something else.
What bit do we get up to, Alicia?
We got up to the bit when he was like, sorry, I'm so sorry.
No, we didn't. We went past. I'm so sorry.
No,
Cassandra's inside the Doctor.
Yeah, Cassandra, they're climbing up the lift shaft, aren't they?
Yep, and then he doesn't know what to do, so he goes into Rose's body, then the Doctor tells him to go back in someone else's body.
That's
and
something I've often dreamed of doing.
And then he goes to...
She goes to the zombie, doesn't she? But the zombie grabs hold of Rose's ankle. Now, I was always thinking, oh my gosh, she's got her.
I know, I thought the zombie grabbed hold of one of the novices,
the nun.
It was one of the cats.
Because
she tears.
And
she'd already been contaminated, didn't she?
No.
No, I thought she had.
No, not at that point.
Oh, okay.
Nice. No, and even so, she only touched her sock.
Oh, is it? It was a biological sock, was it, that deflects all germs and stuff?
Yeah, it has to be skin. Is your sock a skin? No.
Sock a
no.
skin? I don't know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and...
I'm just nipping out for a quick fan.
Okay. Oh, no. And, yeah, and eventually they get back to I think Cassandra only just manages to get back into... Was it Rose at this point? Oh, shush. Was it Rose when they got out the top of the lift shaft?
Yeah. I think it must have been, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think just after that, the doctor distributes this some... He tempts them into the lift, doesn't he?
And yeah,
because he feeds all the anti whatever it is fluid into the lift.
That particular way of resolving everything is rubbish.
Because he's like, get every old disease solution, and it was just rubbish.
What are you talking about, the bit where they go around
sort of touching, a little bit of steam rises off every person that touches. Yeah. But the thing is, though, that is consistent. If they're able to contaminate everybody just by touching them, that they could then decontaminate everybody by touching. Yes. So it is sort of consistent in that way.
And because I don't like those two things about the story, I like this particular story.
I thought you were going to say you didn't like it because you have been a little bit more critical than you usually are.
I used to be scared of it.
I like bits of it.
Alicia says she used to be scared of it. Why were you scared of it?
Because it was a zombie. But I'm not now. They're pathetic.
At least Isabella was sort of scared of it. What was she scared of? She wasn't scared of the zombies. She was scared of something else.
The cats?
Oh, she was scared of Chip. She found Chip really creepy.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Chip
was... I like Chip.
Yeah. Well, no, Isabella thought Chip was creepy, and she didn't want to watch it whenever Gollum. Chip was
Gollum. I like the way that Rose refers to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Gollum.
Well, my notes say about the flesh is free bit, who borrowed that idea.
It's Stephen Moffat.
Was it?
No. Yeah.
Never heard of him.
And also, Cassandra could have transferred to one of the cured zombies instead of Chip. Why couldn't she leave Chip once she was inside him?
I think it was the doctor was telling her right now she's got to end it. So.
Well, she didn't have to. Yeah. She could have just popped into one of the other zombies.
Yeah, but I think it was because of the doctor, though, his influence.
Probably so. But it did lead to a very, very moving scene at the end of the episode.
That's probably my favourite part.
Yeah. Which is obviously she had transferred to another zombie.
And that was a very popular restaurant.
That changed her timeline.
Could do.
And then she doesn't
She mentioned at the beginning that she remembered that person coming up to her telling her she was beautiful. You know, so that's coming full circle, but really it's herself saying she looks beautiful. So
that's a bit vain, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she was like that, though, wasn't she? So all in all, yes, quite a good first episode of the series. There was bits, obviously, that you could think that don't quite work, as I've noted down. But there was lots of memorable moments and great fun in it, you know, especially as I said earlier.
Yes, it was fun. Yeah. And that makes up for the silly parts where I had...
Sorry, guys, quickly. Wait, my phone's ringing.
It's not... Oh, for God's sake.
No!
What's the ringtone, anyway?
Someone's being called via Skype on their...
Levi!
What a surprise. Hang on, I've got time.
What is Alicia's ringtone?
That was that your phone or was it Skype?
Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's Skype.
It's Skype on her iPhone.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know what a ringtone is on a phone.
My ringtone, if I get a call from someone that is not in my contacts, is you will be catalogued.
Well, my ringtone, I've got a couple of ringtones. One is from Alicia, which is you're in big trouble, man. This is your daughter. and the other one is you're in big trouble, man. This is your wife. Stuff like that. So obviously, if you ever hear the Doctor Who ringtone going off on my phone, it's neither Alicia or my wife calling me.
When my wife calls me, it's chickens clucking.
That was
her idea. That was her idea.
Where do we go? So we're talking about summarizing this particular story. Yes, as you said, Kirby, it was good fun, but it wasn't perfect. There were certainly bits about it that were a bit daft, but it was so enjoyable to see the actors being stretched in the comedy front, because there were certainly comedy elements in this. And
Russell T. Davis did say that this was meant to be a comedy episode.
Yeah.
So.
And what did he achieve?
Yeah, the people who were on the commentary also said that the idea for this was to be able to stretch Billy Piper's comedic.
Oh, I'd like to stretch Billy Piper.
God.
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, and Alicia's walked right out of the room. Her friends just called her on Skype, and she's walked right out of the room. And the likelihood of seeing her for the rest of the podcast is very, very slim. Because when she's on the phone to one of her friends,
noise from your end.
When she's on the phone to one of her friends, she's gone. So never mind.
She's gone.
We got just about enough of her. Maybe she'll be back. I doubt it. Anyway, was there anything you wanted to say about this episode, Ben, before we move on to other
things? I loved it. I thought it was really fun, really enjoyable. Great start to the second series. Billy Piper looks hotter than she ever had before in Doctor Who.
She did look good in this one. Especially the bit where Cassandra's checking out where Cassandra's checking out her body and curves and it.
Yeah. Oh, seriously, I loved Billy Piper before, but this episode, I'm glad the wife was in bed and there was a. I'll stop there.
Oh God! Help, Kirby! Kirby, help!
Wait,
Sonic.
Change the subject.
Here, Sonic.
No Sonics.
Sonic.
Reese. No laser.
I would have thought Reese would be here by now.
Yeah, what's with Reese?
I don't know. Maybe he's doing another
drama club.
Yeah, maybe
being
he's doing another podcast.
Not what? Another.
Sack him.
All right, I'm just trying to scroll down the news pages.
Oh, we haven't done the charts yet.
Oh, go on then.
Okay, let
at
me find
number
this.
30 we have.
Well, actually, this week's podcast, this is a top 30 podcast out of 41 released. So we could have had a top 40 this week, but that would have taken 4.5 weeks to count down.
And even longer to compile.
Cue the music.
Da, da, da.
At number 30, a re-entry for Future Time Lord. At number 29, a re-entry for The Oncoming Storm. And at number 28, down 4 for The Whostorian. 27's down 14 for Who on Who. They've got no listeners. And at 26, down 4 for Travelling Vortex. 25 is down 4 for The Hookers from Germany. And at 24, for The Madman with a Box. 23 is down 6 for Earth Station 1. And at 22, down 6, it's 2 Minute Time Lord. 21, a re-entry for Outpost Scaro. And at 20, a re-entry for TARDIS Tavern. 19, down 5 is Waffle On. And at 18, it's a re-entry for Sound On Sight. So much easier doing this without that Parton bloke. number 17, down 9 for the Pharos Project. And number 16, a re-entry for the Doctor Who cast. 15's down 4 for Staggering Stories. 14's a re-entry for Doctor Who Review Today. And at 13, down 3 for Bad Wilf. A massive fall of 6 places for the entirely wonderful 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast this week.
Oh.
At some.
What number?
Number 12.
Outside the top 10.
Oh,
which means
shocking.
There are apparently 11 podcasts which get more listeners than us, which I find absolutely incredulous.
Yeah, there you go.
At 11, it's a re-entry for Adventures in Time, Space and Music. That's poor. Number 10, down 3 for Doctor Who. Who's he? Utter rubbish.
I don't know. Who
number
is he?
if we knew that, then the series may not be on. Number 9, a new entry for the Doctor Who Book Club. Jesus. At number 8, a re-entry for Mostly Harmless Cutaway. And at number 7, down 3 for Impossible Podcast, which is impossible to listen to. Number 6, it's down 3 for the Memory Cheats, because they are. And at number 5, it's the Ood Cast. It should be Podcast, because it's just poor. Number 4, a re-entry for the DWO Who Cast. Rubbish title. What does that tell you? And at number 3, down 1 for Tin Dog Podcast. They're just trying to be funny there, and they're not. Number 2, it's down 1 for the Doctor Who Podcast, which, to be honest with you, is worth the time of day. And at number 1, a re-entry for Radio Free Scaro. Goodness, 11 above us, I don't think.
Wait
so.
A second. Someone
look,
was
pod,
missing.
Download this. What I suggest to Pete.
The 15-second pause was missing. this week.
Yes, yeah, no, happiness patrol. Also, happiness patrol.
None of that, Dave. But what I can suggest to all podgrammers is maybe to open up two or three other iTunes accounts and download this podcast three or four times. Yeah. And that way, we'll always be number one where we should be.
It would take an awful lot of people to do that. But let's hope that'll happen one day. Right then, thank you, Ben. On to news.
No.
What do you mean, no?
More listeners would be better.
Yeah, well, that's what I just said.
More genuine listeners rather than downloading it.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. It's a good point, Robert. Yeah, that as well.
The main news appears to be which Daleks we're going to have. All of them.
Kirby, you've jumped well ahead of where I was on the news list.
Sorry.
I'm on the March 1962, is there merit in science fiction on TV? Every fan knows that Doctor Who began on the 23rd of November 1963. 63. But the first tentative steps that led to the launch of what would become the world's longest running and most successful science fiction series in television history took place 20 months earlier in March 1962. So exactly 50 years ago this month, in fact. As we head towards the 50th anniversary of the first broadcast of the show's first episode, An Unearthly Child, Doctor Who News is proud to present this occasional series that will go back in time to celebrate and mark the golden milestones in the creation of a true TV legend. So basically what they've done is they've sort of gone through all the processes of what happened in March 1962 in relation to the creation of Doctor Who.
So what was it?
Oh, it's too much to read. So if you go to doctorwhonews.net, you better read all that.
Well, what'd you bring it up for?
Because it's now 50 years since Doctor Who was sort of conceived.
Sort of.
Conceived, that's the word I was looking for.
But what was it?
Oh, what? I've got to read all that, have I? I can start reading it until and then...
No.
Okay, thank you. Right, yes. Now we talk about Daleks. Or as they say on the Omega podcast...
Daleks.
Dalek invasion of Portsmouth on the Sunday, the 6th of May, will see an army of Daleks built by enthusiasts descend on the Royal Marines Museum in Portsmouth.
That gives you one good reason to go to Portsmouth.
First ever to actually happen.
Yeah. Well, actually second, because I had to go and work there, didn't I?
Yeah, that's true.
Pretending I was a Portsmouth fan.
Yeah, God, that really did sound awkward. Right.
Yeah.
Doctor Who convention press conference. The stars of Doctor Who took time out in their busy schedule to talk to a number of Doctor Who news sites, including Doctor Who News, at the official Doctor Who News convention, which took place in Cardiff last weekend. Then underneath that is a great big blank bit of space, which you can't read because there's nothing there. I'm not going to read the people round up because it's just very random. What we got next? The Queen visited Manchester as part of her Diamond Jubilee tour, during which she officially opened the new BBC Media Control UK in Salford and was confronted. She was
confronted by Dalek.
A Dalek, as they say on the Omega podcast.
Dalek.
Or as Wendell from the Omega podcast. Dalek. The National
Cyberman.
Wendell. Would make
rather
a good Cyberman, if you can stay awake long enough. Anyway, the National Library of Scotland is presenting a selection of science fiction treasures. I was listening to a mega podcast this morning while walking the dogs, and Wendell laughed on it. It warmed my heart to hear Wendell chuckle. Anyway, part of the Edinburgh Science Festival entitled It's Life, Jimmy, But Not As We Know It. The collection includes Stephen Moffat's first Doctor Who short story from 1996, Continuity Errors. The exhibition is open till the 30th of June, admission free. Now, it's interesting that if Stephen Moffat wrote his first Doctor Who short story in 1996, that was quite near the time when Curse of the Fatal Death, or whatever it is called, was
Curse of Fatal Death.
Oh, right, Curse of Fatal Death,
get
Mr. Ben.
Right.
How long have we waited for the first pedantic moment? Just over an hour.
I've been pedantic earlier.
Well, yeah, I didn't see it, sorry. So we are rather missing Reese.
See it.
It's sort of dampened down the pedantry, not having him on it. An evening with Waris Hussein in New York. Obviously, they're still alive and going strong, but looks like...
Gallifrey.
Waris Hussein, who is the director of the first ever episode of Doctor Who.
He was at Gallifrey and did pretty much, I think, the same talk.
Yeah. I'm sure they they do sort of say the same things over again. Doctor Who actors, etc. Same anecdotes and stuff like that. That's why I think
Radio Free Scarrow might have recorded it. I'm not sure. I haven't listened to all those.
But obviously, that's why our interviews are different, because Ben can think of different things to ask them, can't you, Ben?
Because I'm a radio professional.
Indeed. What else we've got here? We've got casting news for Doctor Who, Joanne McQuinn, David Gyasi, if I pronounced that correctly. Don't recognise
any
of them.
I'm sure I'll be mortified if you haven't.
I don't recognise either of them, but they're going to be in Doctor Who. There's a lovely picture of Jenna Louise Coleman in the TARDIS, a typical sort of... And you know, also looking at that picture, that she probably won't look anything like that when she's in the show. Because I seem to remember when Nicola Bryant was cast as Perry, they showed similar pictures of her with the TARDIS, with long flowing hair. And when she actually ended up in the show, she had a short-ish bob. So maybe they'll do that with Jenna. I don't know.
I still say that's the Doctor's name, Bob.
Could be. Bob.
I'll go with that.
Bob.
Matt Smith discussed the casting of Jenna Louise Coleman during an interview on the Roy Noble Show, BBC Radio Wales, on the 22nd of March. I was part of the audition process where we met a number of wonderful actresses, but I think that Jenna responded to Stephen's writing in the most interesting way. We're very excited to welcome her to the Doctor Who family, and the Doctor... needs a companion. He can travel. He can't travel alone. No, that's true.
Well, he can. There was
not for very long, though.
Deadly Assassin.
Yeah, but not. Yeah, they don't work. Occasionally, not. That's okay. But I don't think it works. You know,
just going back a little bit. One of the stories you mentioned about the Queen going up to Manchester to Media City and doing bits and bobs up there on her countrywide tour for her Jubilee celebration.
Indeed, yes.
Now I think they've missed a bit of a trick here.
You do?
Because her name is the Queen.
Yeah.
Now, at the moment, and for the last 20-odd years, the pop band Queen have been missing a lead singer. Now, she's doing a tour, so why didn't she take Brian May and John Deacon and the other fella along with them? And she could have sung all the Queen songs, and then you could have the Queen as the lead singer of Queen, as it always should have been.
Don't you think we're going a little bit down the silliness road?
They've already got another lead singer, though, that guy from...
From Free.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, they had Paul Rodgers for a while. He was never actually... It was always billed as Queen featuring Paul Rodgers. He was never their lead singer. He was just kind of filling in. But I thought that would have been good. They could have got Prince Philip on percussion, maybe.
Maybe so. But anyway, moving on. David Yates has been in the UK as part of Warner Brothers' promotion for the new Harry Potter studio tour. I'd love to go to that. During interviews afterwards, he was asked about the status of the proposed Doctor Who film by Bleeding Cool's Hannah Shaw Williams, to which he clarified the production was still...
Going to do it.
I was just getting up to that bit. Clarify the production was still very...
Well,
much
I'm not reading
stage.
It. I simply read it the other day.
He said, yes, I'm definitely doing a Doctor Who movie, but I think where everyone got confused was that we're not making it for five or six years. It's very slow development. I've got projects backed up between now and 2015, and it's something I'm very passionate and excited about.
Is not the obvious subject for any Doctor Who movie Time Wars?
Mm.
Yeah. Because that's the bit which kind of like, you know, would almost link the old series into the new series.
In a way,
it?
The Time Maybe War it... was a sort of the story arc that never happened, wasn't it? Because it's always got mentioned in the first few series.
Well, exactly. And so I think it would be really good to show it. That way you could bring back, McCoy, could you?
With a big budget, he might come back.
Yeah.
Do
you reckon Eccleston would turn down a role in a movie? Because I don't. Even if it was Doctor Who. Even though he's, you know, rubbished it and poo-pooed it in the past and all that and I'm never going back. Do you think he'd turn down a big fat weight, a paycheck, and
That's
also the chance of becoming well-known in America for the sake of saying, no, I'm not doing it? Because I really don't think he would. It's, you know, if you had a regeneration mid-film.
I don't think
how cool would that
be? It'd be good to have the regeneration in the film, but I don't think they'd do it midway, because, I don't know, I suppose they could.
Why not? Because
surely if you're not a fan of Doctor Who, or maybe you're just watching if you don't know about it, oh, it's a science fiction film, won't you find that a little bit confusing if you're watching this science fiction film where the main character completely changes halfway through the film?
And you know what, with that...
One film that's ever been where the main character has changed halfway through a film.
Mm.
It's an absolute USP, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But, Ben, you know how actors, they argue over who's going to get first billing, etc.? And if you'd say to Eccleston, are you only going to be in half the film? Then maybe he might, only half a film.
Mm. Well, it's still conjecture, isn't it?
Yeah.
I totally see your point, absolutely. But I just think it would be a brilliant, unique selling.
I'd enjoy that scenario.
Get two people playing the lead character. Yeah. I think that would be absolute genius.
Because
what it needs is a
that.
Big budget, isn't it? It's not something that people on TV.
Let's see. If they did the Time War as a movie, that would then fit nicely into canon and wouldn't upset fans of the TV series, because two actors that are recognised as playing the Doctor that were now no longer connected with the series could just pull it off. That'd be great.
But
I also think they should
David Yates? Okay, you can if you like.
they should totally stay away from doing what they did in the 60s with those films.
Oh, yes.
Where they completely took Doctor Who out of what it was and kind of did the American reboot thing of the whole series, even though the TV series was still going on at the time. I've never liked those movies, the 60s
ones. I started watching the first one once, and I couldn't get very far into it. It was strange.
It is just strange, isn't it? It's just like, no, this isn't right. There's something
because he's just a human, isn't he? In them, yes. he's just like an inventor. He's just invented. Yeah.
There was only one thing at the very beginning of that film that I liked was when they were inside the TARDIS door looked like the TARDIS door from the inside.
Yeah, like they did in the Eccleston Tennant TARDIS.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris Ulbricht, the CEO of Starz, has reiterated to Multi-Channel News that the potential future of Torchwood on the channel rests with its creator, Russell T. Davis. Meanwhile, his new series, Wizards vs. Aliens, which is about to go into production, the name recently changed, as Davis explained to Roy Noble on BBC Radio Wales. Coming up now, we have a children's drama that we're making out of these new Roth Lock Studios called Wizards vs. Aliens. It was called Aliens vs. Wizards until a lawyer stepped in, but there we go. By Easter, it'll probably be called
Chickens vs. Rabbits.
Yeah. it's going to be similar to Sarah Jane Adventures, probably in atmosphere, I suppose, more than anything else. Yeah, it was a bit of a filming update, which doesn't really give much away. It's a picture of Karen Gillan and Matt Smith with a sort of classic style Dalek. I don't know if that has any bearing on.
Matt Smith likes the 60s Daleks best. So he released a photo with that.
Oh, okay. So, fair enough. Well, that's understandable.
That Dalek is all dusty and it looks very dead. Small.
Yeah.
Very small, isn't it?
Well, basically, that concludes news. The only thing that was left was a bit of a review on a book. The Quest for Pedlar, which is a biography of Dr. Kid Pedlar, the creator of the Cybermen.
They died so young, didn't they? They're only about 60 when they died.
Yeah, indeedy.
Kid Pedlar and Jerry Davis, people like that.
Yep. That rather concludes news. All I need to mention now is whowon.co.uk. I've been asked...
Whowon.co.uk?
I've been asked by my family... to provide them with suggestions for my birthday, and I've recently ordered 5 Doctor Who DVDs, all of which you can get from whowon.co.uk.
That's whowon.co.uk?
Yep.
I'm not playing this week.
Oh, she's back. www.whowne.co.uk. Ouch, you just trod on me. Put headphones back in, then we can try and do eBay after I've done this Who Won link. Yes.
Did he manage to write on the cable wall?
That's fascinating. Tonight. Fascinating. Take the microphone.
Can you give me a lift up to ride, please?
I don't know yet. Let me do this, please.
Anthony Brooks.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. We've got Nightmare of Eden, Demons... or Daemons, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Merlin!
Face of Evil.
Merlin!
Be quiet. Revisitations 3, Unit Files, which I got from somewhere, can't remember where, and Sensorites. the most recent Ace Adventures. Oh, you're one coming out very soon.
Sets
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, so I'll probably enjoy
the
extra.
Ace Adventures.
No, I haven't.
Are you going to get it?
Well, I've ordered it. I was told to order it.
Why? What's it?
I'll tell you what, Adam.
Hello.
The the Robots of Death in the Revisitations 3 box set.
Yes.
It has a very good, funny look at robots throughout history with Toby Haydock. And
so,
it's
so you're not spoiling
very
it for me by telling me it's on there then?
No, that's on the Robots of Death DVD, okay, which is in the Revisitation.
Which you can buy at www.whone.co.uk, where also they have such latest products as the mini soft toy Dalek, the dragon from what's that series
called?
And Doctor Who magazine 445, along with the Ego Nightfoot stuff I mentioned last week. If you want to send an email into the program, that's this program, by the way, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. The email address is what then, Alicia? This will be funny. Let's see if you can remember what the email address is. What's the email address, Alicia?
www.
That's not an email address, that's a website. But if you want my website, it's www.apvservices.co.uk.
20mbfeedback@gmail.com.
No, because you missed out the dot. 20mb.
I said dot.
No, you didn't. 20 dot. Oh, no. Stop shouting.
20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Does help if you talk into the microphone.
Can
here
we say
it is.
Again?
Can I have the mic? You've broken it. God. Isabella Pearson.
Daddy, the film's finished.
The film's finished.
Do we get a song this week? Do we get a song?
She can't
song.
Hear you. She want, they want a song.
Oh.
Bye. Right, so...
do you want actually to do a song?
Are you going to do one then, are you?
I wanted the film to turn off.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that in a minute. Can I do this bit first?
Do you think?
I think I will.
Quick thing. Then.
I think it was going to be... the same song.
Which is what?
Twinkle, twinkle.
Oh, go on then. Whilst you're doing that, I'll get the next page open.
You're not near the microphone, that is.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above, away, say hi. Like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Yay!
I was just waiting for the reaction.
A bit delayed, ain't
thank
it?
You, Bells at
Izzah. We give you... Hey.
Right, just bear with me a minute while I get the eBay up and running. Alicia can do eBay while I sort out your film situation. Then I've got to start cooking the dog's dinner.
I'll be many chipmunks down.
No! I'm...
Stop shouting.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Alvin and the
is
Chipmunks.
Is that the one where they kidnap?
What's it called? The new shipwreck. One. It's a new one. Well, it's just come out. Just knocked the mic myself. Right, then go on, Alicia. Do you know how to use a computer, like scrolling down and what we're doing? I'm off. I'll be back in about a minute or so.
Oh, the Dalek can place the thingy-bob thing.
Oh, the thingy-bob.
Dalek.
Okay.
Yeah, the
illustration.
No,
the comics.
No, the Dalek. Oh, a place number. No. You know those thing you get on cars. What are they called? The number.
Ah, is that thing this number plate?
Yeah. That's top of the thing. That's like 2,099.
Goodness me.
No, £2,999.
Has it got bids against it?
No, it's buy now.
Oh.
Then next.
But nobody wants it then.
No, unless she bids.
That's too much. Who's got that kind of money in this, you know, climate?
Me.
Right. £2,000?
Yeah. I wish. There's no bid. Oh! Doctor Who and the Daleks. Rig. UK Quad
did
X.
You break down then, Alicia?
Yeah. UK Quad X in condition.
Reese Design.
It? It's from Australia.
It's online.
What it actually says is Doctor Who and the Daleks original UK Squad are excellent condition. I don't know what it is. It looks like a film.
It's got 12 bids against it. Like.
Movie thing. Movie. Should I just click on it?
No.
Move up the page. I want
Yay,
to see what it is.
Yeah, let's move up the page and wind
no,
up Dad.
It.
Ow! You just scratched my hand.
I didn't touch your hand. It was your wrist. Yeah, so it looks like, what is it?
Get the doctor to spray that stuff from the episode on it and it'll cure everything.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, yeah,
like
it was
green,
like
green and orange cordial.
Used an item that has yellow been previously quad. Used. Oh, thank you for that. It really says what it is. Hang on, let's have a look. Doctor Who Daleks UK quad 30 and 40 inches. This is a UK quad that is in excellent condition. Said. This poster has been well looked after, and so it have been card paper backed, similar to linen backing. So yeah, so it's basically a great big poster of from the first movie.
Doesn't look that big.
Well, it's a little picture of a big poster, so it's not going to look that big. Just above it is Doctor Who Radio Times cover with the picture of the Cybermen from the Troughton era.
It has no bids against it, so it's moving out.
I wouldn't surprise. £450 for a copy of the Radio Times. It's not really surprising, is it? Anyway, moving down the list. How many have you done so far, Alicia?
Two.
None.
No.
No, I've done two. Don't listen to them.
Do you think anyone? Because there's two Radio Times for sale on eBay. Both
I think there's a few on there, isn't there? That's just the one that I noticed. As I was
There's bits.
One with William Hartnell, yeah. One with Patrick. Who would pay £450 for a basically paper magazine?
Hopefully the same sort of person that would donate £500 to Cow's Carnival.
Yeah. Doctor Who original DWM 172 Pete Wall.
It's a bit of artwork.
Fifth Doctor artwork. Two bids against it for £200.
Stop waving the microphone around. Yes, it's a bit of artwork that that was used in the DWM 172 original artwork, and that has got bids against it. £199.99 at the moment, plus £6.95.
Well, that's something a bit more worth buying, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got some Man of Steel artwork of my own, which wasn't in the magazine, but he actually painted the pictures for my 21st birthday, and it's a prize possession of mine.
When was that?
Some of these stuff, Davitt, you've got. Yeah, some of the stuff, Davitt, you've got is on sale on here for like £200.
Yeah, so what? Yeah, I think she was referring to my Dalek. You know, my 18-inch Dalek. Which
yeah, Reese is back. You want to bring him in?
But a bit late. You'll bring him in, but put him in it. Love to see what he's going to say now.
We're just about to finish the podcast.
Good grief.
Yeah, we really are wrapping up this time.
That's quite cool to buy. Look, the Doctor Who signed Matt Smith, signed display.
Yeah, anyway, the Dalek that I have in the front room, not box though, I have to say, they've got it listed on eBay at £189.
I've still got my box.
You know, in my picture on Skype, I should be cuddling a Dalek. It's one of those
Dalek.
Ones.
Oh my god.
Look at Reese's picture.
I've seen it already. Have you seen it on Facebook?
Someone's got a shop dummy head for sale with no stand, and it's got 9 bids against it because it looks
like an Auton head, are they?
Yeah.
Or a Mickey head.
Nine bids, £181.
What's the point?
Is he connected yet? Is Reese here?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Reese, and thank you for joining the show.
Where have you been?
And thank you, everybody.
We're wrapping it up now. Bye, guys.
Yeah. I've got to start cooking the dog's dinner, actually. Sorry, Reese, I take it you've been at drama, have you?
Yes.
Hey, I was right.
So was I.
You're a bit late.
I'm perfectly on time.
About an hour and a half.
Right, okay.
You're perfectly on time for the end of the show.
We're just about to finish the show, Reese, but it'll be very nice to get your opinions on New Earth, even though we've already synopsized it, etc., etc. And if you've got anything else to impart whilst I go and start cooking the dog's dinner, and Alicia's here to help you along. See you in a minute.
I do help. Shush. Wait, I'm trying to find the third one.
I said we've done the third one.
No, we haven't.
Don't shout.
Yes, some of us have headphones on.
Yeah.
Some of us have ears.
He likes shouting.
Yeah, but I've got headphones on and it sounds perfectly fine to me.
As I've tried to explain to you about 50 times, the microphone they're listening to is over here. Yes, that thing there. That's for recording. That's for Skyping. Different microphones. Okay.
I'm reminded of that scene in Singing in the Rain where they're trying to show the one actress how the microphones work.
I've got the DVD. I haven't watched it for so many years.
Oh, and be sure to get The Artist. It's an excellent film, the one that just won Best Picture.
Oh, I want to watch that. It looks really good.
I thought the script was a bit rubbish.
I thought you were actually talking about the script, the band, but okay.
Anyway,
they're talking about The Artist.
Can I talk?
You can, Reese, please.
Yeah, you can talk.
I will. Okay. So, first time I saw New Earth. No, it's New Earth. Read the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, also the new.
Ask
how
to
do
it.
It's to do with New York, not to do with New York. New Earth.
But it should be New Earth.
Yes,
I know.
New Earth.
Because Earth wasn't new before, was it?
No, this is New Earth, and they're at New York.
Until Muppet Steals.
It's the 15th.
It's the 15th New York.
Yeah, that's what I just said, more or less.
Yeah.
Anyway, Reese, yes, you were saying, sorry.
The first time I saw it, I didn't think much of it, and I was a bit apprehensive watching it this time around, but I don't know if it's because I'm getting back into watching David Tennant again, but I enjoyed it a lot more this time around, but there were a few bits that I was a bit...
I'm interested to see what you thought were... if they were the same bits that we were thinking of that were a bit...
Yeah.
Go on.
I thought maybe, whilst I can understand the basic logic of it, the ending doesn't make much sense. Just throwing all medicine into a container and
you said that. Was somebody did that?
That's part of his pedantry.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. Whilst it makes basic sense, obviously, if you did that in real life, they might have.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does kind of.
It's a science fiction show.
There's a man traveling around the universe in a blue police box. Makes sense.
It's a podcast called the 20 Megabyte Podcast with Alicia Pearson on it, for goodness sake.
And how does that make any sense?
See? Yeah. He's trying to be funny. It's not funny.
Hands up who thought that was funny. And all the people who were there. Mary thought it was funny. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Did you marry?
No, sorry, it was Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil thought, would you stop breathing? I'll disconnect him. Dr. Phil
just stop breathing.
We're doing a podcast, Isabella.
Come and join in. Come in.
I hid shouting upstairs. I was playing my snapping game.
You were doing your what?
Alvin and Chipmunk's snap game.
Well, carry on playing your Alvin and the Chipmunk's snap game,
you
then.
Making me angry.
You get that from your mother. Right then.
Adam.
My five-year-old stamps her foot when she says things like that.
Oh, that was great.
We were sort of trying to get Reese's opinions on New Earth, but seemed to unusually and very, not for us and that very often, got distracted somewhere along the line.
Detracted.
It was your fault. It was your fault.
You've had me detracted from the episode.
So, anyway,
where was I? We're talking about the ending. Apart from that, I did enjoy it, and I thought that Billy Piper did a fantastic job in portraying Cassandra, because obviously she was possessed. But I just love the way all the lines about, I'm inside a chav and things like that. That was quite funny. But
excuse me.
Hello, Kirby.
What's a chav?
What's a chav? Alicia, what's a chav? You'll be the best person to answer this question.
It's me. No, I'm joking. It's a person who wears hoodies and wears trackies all the time and wears their hair slipped back and talks like a chav.
Tacky jewellery.
Things like that. You get me, you get me. You do get me, innit, but yeah.
I'm not bothered, am I?
Yeah, innit. Yeah.
Just going up the apples and pears.
No, that's that's Cockney.
That's Cockney.
No,
innit and blood.
Have you ever cocked chav?
You get me, chav. And you don't pronounce your T's, which I do often.
It's easier to spot.
I speak like a chav.
A chavette because they just walk around all the time in track suits.
That's a girl.
And that's it.
Blokes
wear sort of track suits with either
baseball caps
or hoodies. Or baseball caps with hoodies.
Basically, Google the only way is Essex.
And the tacky,
not chav.
No, that's not chav, that's just...
They're going to have an Australian version as well,
Alicia.
Are they called dingoes?
No. Something shire.
Basically the longest... I'll tell you what, Google chav, and they'll probably have some sort of proper definition. Don't look it up on Wikipedia. Basically,
you need the answering answer. That's what you need. You don't want to
Google. Rose is wearing for this episode that tracksuit top thing she's wearing. It's a chav outfit, rather like the character that Matt Lucas plays when he's doing that chav in the Little Britain series. whose name? Vicky, isn't it? Vicky and yeah, Vicky Pollard.
Vicky Pollard.
Yeah, that's the stereotypical chav.
Google Whitney of EastEnders, and that's a chav, ain't it?
Yeah, okay. And the other, a boyfriend that was on
Fat Boy.
Fat Boy, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Yes, did that answer your question? What was a chav?
Yes.
Good. Right.
I don't.
Reece, sum up? Now that my mental train has been thoroughly derailed.
Did you sum up, Reece?
You're talking about Billy Piper, yeah.
The acting. Oh, yeah, I was. Oh, hang on. The acting, yeah.
That reminds me, I'm going to Google Billy Piper and see what I can see.
Oh, yeah, yeah, do images.
Oh, yeah.
I will do.
Are we going to have another Facebook page?
Page, yeah.
No, I respect Billy Piper too much.
No, you don't.
I would. Billy Piper did a fantastic job with that. I think David Tennant was hilarious when was being Cassandra.
Yeah,
Basically, I enjoyed the episode, but it is my opinion of kind of a middle-of-the-road episode, just take it or leave it.
It was a light-hearted kickoff to the new series.
Yeah. It was.
In fact, and it was a bit like... Sorry, but it was a bit like the first episode of Series 4 with Catherine Tate, which is a lighthearted kickoff to the series, which Russell T. Davis sort of liked to do.
Quite similar.
Although that was done slightly better.
Oh, yeah, and you said we should keep an eye out for the I'm sorry.
Yes, we did do that.
Yes, and mentioned that, yeah.
Did you spot that?
I did.
And yes, of course he did, because he mentioned it.
I laughed at that because you said we should keep an eye out for one of those throughout the episodes we're going to watch.
And yeah, the first episode. We haven't had Alon Z yet, though.
Alon Z? Yeah.
It's all gone quiet over there. It's like being at Fratton Park.
Where?
Ha-ha!
At least somebody got what I was saying.
Where's Fratton Park?
Fratton Park is the ground that Portsmouth play until the end of the season.
You know it's ridiculous. Yeah, so I think, unless you've got some other news to... by the way, Reece, when are you going to actually be available for the beginning of the show again?
This was the last week of term, for about 4 weeks I'll be able to do the whole...
Yes, well, that means, Alicia, you'll be available next week for the podcast, won't you? Hello? Alicia? Alicia?
What? Alicia's been quiet.
She's just scowling at me.
What's going on?
She's herself.
Well, as long as Ben's available, we should have a full house on next week. That'd be great. And then it goes back to normal.
Well, if I don't have a job by then.
Don't swear.
I don't want to say that I hope you don't.
Yeah, that three-letter word.
Wait, have you got job interviews?
Or at least if you do have a job, you have Mondays off.
Wait.
I can't guarantee that, I've definitely got...
Have you got job interviews?
I've got a second interview for a job.
Where?
I've got a second interview on Wednesday.
Where?
Where?
No, I'm not going to say.
Is that
Tesco?
I don't want to.
No, is that?
I don't want to jinx my. I don't want to jinx my chance of getting a very, very well paid job.
Very, very.
Is it at Co-op?
Shush.
Is it a Co-op? No.
I want to wish you. I want to wish you all the very best of luck with that, Ben.
Thank you very much. Even though it'll probably mean the end of my podcasting days for a while.
No. Well, you're allowed to have days off when you got jobs, and hopefully, I'm quite prepared to reschedule it. If your day off falls on a Monday or a what's the other day I have?
Saturday
off or Tuesday. I don't start
Saturday.
Work till Tuesday or Saturdays. I don't work on Saturdays. Then we
well, if we're around at the same time, then I'll definitely. If not, then I'll just record stuff and send it into.
We'll sort something out. We can't not have
well
Ben
if
on
it
the
is
show.
Saturdays. If it is Saturday, I'll be able to join
you. Do you realise if me and Ben leave, you will lose all your listeners?
I'm going to set up my own podcast.
Robert Kirby.
I'm going to set up a rival podcast called Billy Piper's Really Quite Hot.
I join? Can I join?
You can, yeah.
Then Dad will be
I'm currently looking at starcelebs.com/celebs/Billy Piper. And I'm quite, I'm enjoying it, put it that way.
That's rude.
Have you got your box of tissues there, Ben?
Oh, please. There's a 14 and a 17-year-old in this room. I tell you, are you 17 yet, Reece?
No, not yet.
Okay. There's a 14 and a 16-year-old in this room.
Exactly.
I'm one of the ones who makes that joke.
You're one of the ones at what?
I'm one of the ones that make that kind of joke, so I'm fine with that.
Yes, the innuendo king... Of the 20 megabyte podcast, yes, it's Mr. Reece, Parton.
Ben,
what were you saying earlier on when we did the charts? You said, isn't it much easier doing the charts without Mr. Rhys Parton on the show?
It was a hell of a lot quicker.
Hey, I should have been there.
I'm glad you weren't.
Oh, I was on the phone.
So you're saying I'm the Captain Jack of the podcast then? Missing in the window.
Yes, you are.
Well, we used words, but I don't think they were Captain Jack. I love you really, mate.
On the podcast, I mean, on the podcast page, you wrote they were playing Santa's horn, didn't you?
Oh, please.
I did.
Followed by the Benny Hill theme.
Well, that's an almost entirely incorrect version of it, but you know.
It's got the tenor, I can't think.
Anyway.
As what's his name said?
I don't know, what was his name?
Eric Morecambe. Oh, it was all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. But in that case, it wasn't even some of the right notes.
I just banged the microphone and accidentally opened up iTunes, and I don't want to. Bother. Stop singing, Alicia.
Are you going to download us?
No,
I wasn't singing, Alicia.
Oh, God, what's happened there? Alicia, be quiet.
I'm singing the popcorn song.
Who's what? The popcorn song?
You don't know.
I've just found a picture that it's meant to be Billy Piper, but isn't Billy Piper, but
is the popcorn song.
Benefit. Silence.
No, this is it. Yeah. Oh, no, it's playing Omega Podcast. Wait, what's it doing?
Wait.
No, this one. Oh, it doesn't want to play. It just wants to play the Omega Podcast.
Omega
Podcast. What's it doing?
Oh, hi, Greg. It was nice to...
No, that's your Omega Podcast.
Why? Why would you do that?
Well, play the Omega Podcast.
We didn't hear from Jim the Fish this week.
No, maybe he's gone off the show. Or maybe he's it takes too long to
maybe
sort
he likes
put these him. Things together. Yeah.
Maybe he was having his filter changed.
Yeah, that would be popcorn. Yes. Anyway, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. Because
that's like Morse code, really.
Yeah.
You're winding me up. Can you take me up Newport and ride now, please?
No.
Why not?
Because your mother will come up with some sort of reason.
I can't bother to get the bus, please.
I can think of a good reason. I haven't got any petrol. And the other reason is you've just been bought a Rover ticket. So you can go by bus.
No.
Popcorn was originally composed by Gershon Kingsley in 1969.
Thank you.
He did the music for a very famous Disney parade. Anyway.
You Wikipedia this, didn't you?
Fascinating.
Yes. Broco down for the Main Street Electrical Parade. Hey, right. That's my other fandom besides Doctor Who. It's
understandable.
Yeah,
I'm getting bored now.
I'm trying to finish off the podcast.
Thank you for that link to the video about pranks you can play on people.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Oh, that was fabulous. I like the ketchup one, though.
I like that one, but I don't think I could ever do that to anybody.
No, wouldn't that be disgusting?
Tell us about the football. Quick.
There was a very amusing incident where Andy Carroll decided to fall over in a very theatrical manner and got himself
a diver.
But then just after that, even funnier was the non-existent headbutt, which then poleaxed a Newcastle player.
Yeah, but you can't put your head in like that whether you make contact
I agree.
Or not.
I know.
Are we finishing up soon? I've got to go pack my lunch.
But otherwise, you talk.
I've got to go and do something to do with my job as well. So
but I just wanted to say that Carol dive was one of the funniest of things I've seen all year. It was just hilarious and yeah.
I've got to go to Newport and get stuff.
Yeah, well, I've got to cook the dog's dinner, so I've got to end the podcast, pack everything away, make the bed, etc., etc. Thank you for
next
joining
week.
Hold on. One more important thing before we go that may not be common knowledge to some listeners in the UK. There's a TV channel called Watch. I don't know. And they show... Yeah, Watch. as in what you wear on your wrist, but a slightly different spelling. And they're showing Doctor Who at the moment at 1 o'clock at lunchtime every day of the week. And
hey,
this afternoon,
that's in 10 minutes.
So I'm just disconnecting
Alicia's
microphone.
In 10 minutes' time,
you can rewatch
The Last of the Time Lords, which I watched the other day on DVD. But then they're going to go obviously into series 4.
Yeah.
So yeah, and what a great episode Last of the Time Lords is.
Right, I want to finish
now,
the show.
Why?
Next week.
Yes, we're doing
Ian
claw.
Back on.
Yeah, Tooth and Claw.
Tooth and Claw next week. Yes. Thank you.
Is that the one with the werewolf?
Yes, it is. Right. Thank you. And until next week, thank you for joining us on the show.
Oh, I could do a impression of Scooby-Doo. Can't I, Dad?
No, not now, you can't.
Yeah, we do it now.
Robert does them all the time.
Does he?
Yeah. Till next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me. Well, you lot.
See my impression of Scooby-Doo. It's really, really good, isn't it?
Bye.
That's all right. Sorry, it's only for about 20 minutes.
Save it for 2 weeks' time, Alicia.
Yeah. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production. Is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.